Welcome to Emil Franzing's Voices of the West, dedicated to the principle that America was better off when our TV shows featured cowboys instead of lawyers.
And you're durn tootin' on that one, pal. Welcome to another edition of Emil Franzing's Voices of the West. I'm Harry Alexander, Bunker de France across the way.
Howdy.
And in Los Angeles, it is our good friend Todd Roberts. And we are coming to you today from the Tucson Auto Museum Studios.
It's awesome.
It is awesome in here. If you have never been to this place, you really need to come and visit because they have a buttload of cars.
I have never seen so many shiny cars in my life.
You know,
from flivvers to the European sports cars.
There are tons of classic automobiles here, including my favorite, a 1952 DeSoto convertible.
Oh, my favorite's the Packard.
Yeah, and the Packard is a fave as well. Jack Benny's Packard V12.
Ooh.
Anyway, it is located at 4825 North Sabino Canyon Road here in Tucson, Arizona. If you'd like to find out more, go to their website, tucsonautomuseum.org. Their phone number, 520-207-5715. And you can find out all of that information there by going to tucsonautomuseum.org.
And they are real nice folks.
They are. I mean,
they even brought us water.
I know. Well, and we'd have to pay for it.
Yeah, we didn't have to pay for it.
Anyway, it's a great collection of automobiles, great automobiles here.
Oh.
And you may wonder, why is a Western podcast doing a show from an automotive museum? Well, it's history. Hello, that's the bottom line. It's history. I watched a Gene Autry movie last night. There was a car in it. Okay.
I watched The Thicket last night. Yeah, I love the movie. But the opening shot is a girl out in the middle of nowhere, just snow. She's got some flowers because her daddy died, and she's getting flowers for the grave. And here, way off in the distance, here comes a motorcycle. It comes zipping by and goes right on by her. Later on, the little short guy and his black sidekick, they're driving it. I never seen anything like it. It was like a freight wagon, had a steering wheel,
yep.
And it had a motor, and that we was driving down.
There you
but,
go.
You know, and this is, I'll tell you what, if you haven't checked it out, check it out, The Thicket. It is an awesome movie.
All right, so we got a good one today. We've got a relative of the outlaw, Bill Doolin. Dave Doolin Dalton Hoagland. I hope I pronounced that correctly. We'll find out. Anyway, he's a Civil War reenactor. He's a retired sheriff's officer. He's a cowboy shooter. He knows people that we know, like the late Phil Spangenberger and Peter Scirocco. And he also is very close to the Roy Rogers family. So we're going to get talking about that. But first, Bunker has his bovine stuff.
Well, we're coming to you from Bunker's Bunkhouse. Oh, wait, there's my theme song.
It is.
I need a moo in that theme song.
You need a moo?
A moo in
there. Oh, all right. I'll fix that.
Give me a moo. Okay, anyhow, let me explain what we're doing here. This is from Bunker's Bunkhouse, is the good, the bad, and the bovine. Now, for Dave, I'm going to explain this. I know this is the part that everybody groans. The explanation. I start with today, which just happens to be the 8th of August, and I go back 3 days in time. To no particular date, and then I go forward 3 days in time, again to no particular date, but not into the future. I go with 3 days into the future in the past,
mm-hmm.
And I know that makes sense to everybody. But I'm going to start with August 5th, 1689, and I'm going to start with the Beaver Wars. Now, I don't want that to make anybody nervous, because it's not what you're thinking. The Beaver Wars took place, it was the Lachine Massacre was part of the Beaver Wars. It occurred when 1,500 Mohawk warriors launched a surprise attack against a small settlement of Lachine, New France, at the upper end of Montreal Island.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to August 6th, 1777, this is during the American Revolutionary War, the Bloody Battle of Oriskany was a major engagement of the Saratoga Campaign. An American column of Tyrone County Militia and Oneidas were marching to receive the siege of Fort Stanwyck, they were ambushed by a contingent of Britain's indigenous allies and loyalists. Now, I'm explaining to you, the loyalists was Americans that were didn't want to be Americans. They wanted to stay British. Okay. Also, on the same day, August 6th, I had to throw this in because I can't leave it out, Mr. Hoot Gibson was born. He was a real working cowboy.
Yippee!
Yeah. He was a real working cowboy, champion rodeo rider before he became famous as a Hollywood movie star.
And an airplane pilot.
Huh?
And an airplane pilot.
And an airplane pilot. And he drove tanks in World War I.
He and Bob Steele used to fly together.
Yeah. And fight. Yeah, we won't go into that. Okay. August 7, 1786. First federal Indian reservation is established. The land is set aside for the Brotherton Band of Cherokee Nation in what is now eastern Tennessee. Also, this is important because I generally don't do two on one date, but August 7th, 1922, one of my all-time favorite character actors, John Anderson, died. Hmm. And he's best known
He was born.
Huh? No, that's...
In 22, he was born.
Yeah, he was born in 20... No, he died. No, yeah, he's born in 22. But he... Well, I don't know.
Yeah, that print's getting awful close to the paper.
Yeah, okay. Anyhow, he was known for more than 500 television
Good
roles.
Grief.
Well, that's, a lot of, that's a lot of horseback.
Yeah.
Now, moving on to the 8th of August, 1899. Taylor McPeters. You know who he is?
I do not.
Well, he was better known as Cactus... Cactus Mack.
Hey, all right.
Okay, he's cousin to Glenn Strange and Rex Allen.
Yep.
He was an actor, a stuntman. Before focusing on acting, he was an accomplished musician. He played fiddle with Ray Whitley's Six Bar Cowboys.
Cool.
And guitar with Fred Scott's The Cimarron Cowboys.
Right. Yeah.
He was with the Arizona Wranglers. And he taught a 16-year-old kid named Leonard Sly
how to play guitar.
Now,
<funny.
laughs> Dave knows who that is.
Yeah.
And he played in more than 444 film or TV programs, according to IMDb, anyway.
Yeah, well.
Now, on August 9, 1951, a friend of mine who had a guest on the show, Daniel, or better known as Danny Ohako, stuntman, actor, cowboy, PRCA bareback rider. He's a real estate developer up in Sedona, brother to Jeff and Kathy Ohako, a couple other stunt people, close friends. And he was 1977 world champion bareback rider.
Okay.
Now, on August 9, 1610, first Anglo-Powhatan War was fought from 1609 to 1614 between English settlers at Jamestown and the Powhatan Confederacy in Virginia. Driven by disputes over land, food, and English expansion, it concluded with a tenuous peace sealed by the marriage of Pocahontas and John Rolfe. And if you saw the Disney movie, you saw pure crap. Now, on August 10, 1680, the Pueblo Revolt began. This is getting into my neighborhood, New Mexico. It was a revolution of most of the indigenous Pueblo people, led by Pope. He was one of their chief leaders. It was against the Spanish colonists in the province of Santa Fe de Nuevo México, and that area was actually larger than the present-day New Mexico.
Hmm.
And the revolution created the Pueblo Republic. It was the first pan-Pacific sovereignty, and it lasted, I think, either 12 or 18 years before the Spaniards came in there and did what they do.
Hmm.
Now we're going to finish all this up, much to Dave's relief, with August 11, 1902. And I'm going to, this is what a young fellow named Lloyd, middle name Benedict Nolan, Lloyd Nolan, a fine, fine actor,
character,
stage, film, and television actor. Rose from a supporting player into a B-movie lead to feature player status. I'm just going to run through a quick list of some of his westerns. I'm not going to mention the TV because there's just too many. But these are outstanding westerns, and if you haven't seen them, you should look them up. And if you have seen them, you should see them again. The Texas Rangers, 1936.
Yep.
Wells Fargo, 1937.
Yep.
Apache Trail, 1942.
Good.
Wild Harvest, 1947. Green Grass of Wyoming, 1948. And Bad Boy, this is 1949, but this is special because this is Audie Murphy's first film. And I've seen it. It's about boys' home. Mm-hmm. And then the last haunt, 1956. Santiago, I love this movie, 1956. And he finished up the movies with Circus World, 1964. I love the man. I love watching his work. And he did a ton of Laramies. That's it.
And that's it for the bovine, right? You forgot an important event that occurred yesterday. On the 7th of August.
Nothing happened important yesterday. That was a dull, boring day, except for the movie, which I watched.
It's our good friend, Bunker. It was our, well, he is still here.
I was your good friend.
Our good friend, Bunker de France, celebrated his, I won't say the number, birthday yesterday.
86.
Oh, my God, really?
I got up that morning, went into the bathroom, threw some water in my face, looked in the mirror, said, 86. Oh, shit.
You know, I say that every morning.
Well, I do, too, but there's something poignant about
it. Oh, my God.
It was devastating.
Let's get our...
All I can say to you is, Bunker, is that bourbon helped.
Well, he was supposed to go have a beer last night, but he declined that offer, so whatever.
Well, I wanted to watch The Thicket. That was more important than the old birthday.
Yeah. All right, let's...
I want to add one more thing about The Thicket, though.
Yep.
You got to go see it. The little guy in there, Peter Douglas, he totally believable. You want to see him again. But the gal that played the lead heavy, mm-hmm. she was so bad, so mean, so evil, so despicable that she made Jack Elam look like a choir boy. Now, if that won't get you out to see the movie, nothing will.
You know, that's kind of hard to do. All right, let's bring our guest on, Dave Hoagland, and Todd Roberts. Do the introductions, please.
Well, we are lucky today to have our guest. Once in a while, we get somebody who not only walks the walk, but talks the talk. And that's who Dave Hoagland is. He has had more cowboy lives than all of us put together. And I'm eternally envious because he, out of all the other things he's done, which are really interesting and everyone will enjoy hearing about, the one that he did that I am eternally, eternally jealous and envious of is he rode in the Rose Parade several times on the Roy Rogers Posse. So this is on my bucket list. I'll be eternally envious until I can accomplish that. So Dave, other than that, is somebody who is related to Bill Doolin and has been in law enforcement and is still working his own ranch, a little ranchito he has, and is just a really interesting guy. So let's kick the ball off here. Dave, welcome to the program. Please start telling your life story. No pressure. I hope you have a good bourbon in front of you.
Well, you'll know need what? One when you're done.
In 1733, no.
He's older than I am.
Well, you know what? I was fortunate as the rest of you, I'm assuming, being born in the 50s, which was an awesome era. And, you know, there's the Davy Crockett era, the cowboy stuff, the mountain man. When I was in grade school, I grew up in Upland, and the mountains were right there, Mount Baldy, and I would stare out the window all the time. All I wanted to be was a mountain man. So I didn't care about being an astronaut or a doctor or a lawyer or whatever. I just wanted to be a mountain man.
There you go.
But anyway, so when I was a kid, in my early teens, I had a paper route, and I saved up enough money, I wanted a horse. And my dad said, no, you can have a motorcycle. So I was only 15. So I had enough money to buy a brand new 350 Honda. So I rode that for years. And then once I got into my career, I met a gentleman who had a small ranch and had horses. And I was like in heaven. So I'd go up to his house all the time and go riding. And then I decided, well, I told my wife, we're moving. So we bought 3 acres and got horses and a couple of Angus heifers and used to breed them with a friend's Brahma bull all the time. And so I started out into this cowboy life that I always wanted. And I sold the Harley that I eventually had just before I moved up here. But one of my neighbors had started up a reenactment group, and so he called me up and joined me into that. And then one of the guys I met in the group, he knew about a bigger group up in Crestline, the High Mountain Gunfighters, which was kind of like a, I guess you'd say, a professional type.
Mm-hmm.
Very serious people that competed in competitions and that. So I got involved with
button,
them.
Button counters.
Yeah. So from there, I just met people, and one of the good friends I met was Jerry Tarantino, and he kind of helped me along in clothes and guns and that. And then Phil Spangenberger came along, Gray Worley, a bunch of great guys that were real sticklers. What I liked about the people I met was you had to be period correct.
Exactly.
And I'm not, you know, I love Westerns, but I like, you know, once I got around these people, it was hard watching even a John Wayne movie because he just got out of the Civil War and he's carrying a 73 Winchester and it hadn't been invented for another 10 years.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So you're like, so you're picking apart Westerns and going, wait a minute. So anyway, that just led into meeting a lot of people and getting involved with a lot of different things. And one of the biggest enjoyments was getting involved with the Roy Rogers Museum and the Rogers family, which is one of the most awesome families I've ever met.
Huh.
And so we started doing mounted shooting at the museum a couple times. And you're familiar with the mounted shooting, CMSA?
Sure.
And so I was fortunate to be on the early years of that. And so one of the biggest honors, and this is bigger than riding in the Rose Parade, this was the biggest thing I could ever think of, is that when Roy Rogers passed, while I was outside cleaning one of the stalls, and my daughter, who was only about 5 years old at the time, came running out, and she was crying. She goes, "Daddy, Roy Rogers just died." I go, "What?" So I went in and I called Dustin Rogers, the grandson, found out what was going on that, but I'll make this short. So when we had the public funeral service, Dusty, Roy's son, he came up to me and he said, "Hey, do you think you put a few guys together to dig Roy's grave?"
Hmm.
The way the Dale had the area built, there's a small little retaining wall and they can't get the backhoe in.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Are you kidding me?" So there was 11 of us went down there with pick and shovel, dressed in 1800s period correct clothes, and we had to dig down to the vault.
Wow.
And I'm telling you, the honor to do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then I also walked in the honor guard they had, and then we did the same thing with Dale. And to do that for a childhood hero.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
I mean,
well, you know, just from the way you tell it, it's
that is cool.
You were like a member of the family.
Yeah.
That is not the kind of things that people ask to do unless they are a member of the family.
Yeah, that is most excellent. Hey, we got to do our first commercial break here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Dave Hoagland's our guest. He's a relative to the outlaw Bill Doolin, and we'll get into that stuff in. We'll get into that in just a little bit. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, and Todd Roberts with you on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. We're streaming live from the Tucson Auto Museum. Be right back.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of Westerns were filmed. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and the Hacienda, That's a 5-bedroom, 3-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms, but you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away. It'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club is one of the best-kept economic secrets in town. This 900-member group maintains one of the finest shotgun shooting ranges in the country, featuring trap, skeet, five-stand, and sporting clays fields, and hosts national and international events that bring thousands of people and millions of dollars into our community. The Spring Satellite Grand American Tournament alone involves 1,200 participants for 10 days. Learn more about this and their other contributions to our community at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com.
I was just in the general store, and I was never so aggravated in my life as when I heard one of them Easterners telling old man Simpson that he's a-packing and leaving these parts because a man's life ain't worth a second-hand chaw of tobacco.
This is the Voices of the West.
He's rolled across your silver screen. He's seen laughter and he's seen tears, and I know forever in many hearts he'll reign as the king of the cowboys. There is honor to his name.
We are back on Abel Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker DeFrance, Todd Roberts with you. Streaming live from the Tucson Auto Museum podcast studio. And our guest, Dave Hoagland, who's very close to the Roy Rogers family. So, sir, I play that song in honor of you.
And Roy.
And Roy. Because, you know, you just have to.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
I couldn't lick his boots.
I wouldn't want to. I know where he walked. That's forward. There've been a lot of horses in that corral.
All right, now we understand that you are a relative to the outlaw Bill Doolin, and that is your cowboy shooter name, Doolin Dalton. And when did you find out this particular revelation?
Well, when I was a kid, my grandmother, maiden name was Doolin. She was Doolin, and my grandfather was O'Donnell, and so I was raised Irish as Irish can be.
Yep.
And so we used to go back. Everybody was from the Indiana, Illinois area, and that's where I was actually born, back there. And so we'd go back to Doolin reunions, and I still had great uncles and aunts that were still alive. And I remember my great uncle George telling me, I was only about 8 years old, telling me about Bill Doolin, the outlaw, you know, Cousin Doolin. And later, when I put even more information and got more information from my great aunt and the lineage down with the Doolin family from Ireland, anyway, my great grandfather, James Andrew Doolin, he was a cop in Arkansas at the same time his cousin with Bill Doolin, Public Enemy Number One, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And they were both born in Arkansas. You know, I don't have enough information on you know, how close, how, if they even really knew each other. All the, you know, real tight stuff, like, I don't know. But I would assume so, because they were both born in Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure all the new ones knew each other back then.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of took after my great-grandfather as far as in law enforcement. And of course, I won't mention any of the criminal stuff I've done in the past. But so I got a little bit of that bill in me, too. But it was really interesting. And then when I joined SAS in 89, I had to come up with an alias, and I thought, Dozen Doolin, what could be better? So I went ahead and took that name, and then I've done a lot of research, a lot of study. I was fortunate that I was working with federal marshals for a few years,
mm-hmm.
and got some documentation, you know, copies they sent me on Bill Tilghman and Heck Thomas, who hunted Doolin,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, how they captured him and some of the cases and that. So, and his escape when he was captured. So it's really been interesting getting all this information together. And there's four Doolin brothers that came from Ireland, County Cork, Ireland, back in 1878.
Hmm.
And then my great aunt, she's got the lineage down to me and then down to Bill Doolin. She didn't do the two other brothers.
Hmm.
So anyway, that's how the connection came along.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
So cool. I mean, you know, we all know, or most of us know, about our relatives from ye olde days. And it's just fascinating to track that stuff.
Stuff that they got into.
Yeah, well, my great-granddad was at Fort Huachuca during the Geronimo campaign in 1886. And was a guard on the train when they carted him off to Florida. And I got to meet one of Geronimo's grandsons, great-grandsons.
Oh, a friend of the show.
And yeah, he's a friend of the show. And, I mean, damn. Just so cool, you know?
Yo, Dave, I got a question for you here. I understand you wear D-Bar J hats. Is that true?
Why do you ask?
Well, I come across this photo of you. It claims to be you, anyway, at the Hondo film set at the Melody Ranch there at Santa Clarita. But it's an interesting thing. One, you're wearing a derby, if it's you, and it's signed at the bottom, K.B. Doolin. And I'm thinking now, is this a Dave Doolin impersonator or a Dave Doolin reenactor, or is that you?
Well, let me tell you, I tell people this all the time, if you're not wearing a D-Bar J hat, you're not wearing a hat.
Ooh. That's true. They're famous for their reenactors.
Throw down.
Oh, he's right.
I met Dave years ago at End of Trail, and I had him make a hat for me, and I liked his old-fashioned way, his old rig that goes on your head and matches your size.
Mm-hmm.
And I could call Dave up and say, hey, I want, like I did this a few years ago, I called him up, I said, I want the exact hat like Jeff Bridges wore in Wild Bill.
Oh,
same color, same everything.
That's a wild
and
hat.
And he's already got my size, he's already got everything down, and sends me, I must have, and I'm not joking, because I just bought cases for all of them. I've got about 30 D-Bar J hats.
Wow. Oh, I got 12 between cowboy bowlers, hats. You got me beat hands down.
Between bowlers and you know, Mexican hats and Plains hats. And then I ran into a lady at End of Trail this year who, unfortunately, her husband passed away. And she was trying to sell a hat. It's a D-Bar J that he had made for her husband. And it's the hat that Steve McQueen wore as Tom Horn.
Oh.
It's exactly like the Tom Horn hat.
Wow.
And everybody was trying it on. I go, it's too small, it's too small, it's too small. I go, what size is it? Because I've got a small head. And they go, 6 7/8. I go, I want that hat.
Oh, you're a bull rider. All bull riders wear 6 7/8.
You know, I've only been on mechanical bulls, but never tried a live one.
Yeah, it's not all it's cracked up to be.
What about that KB Doolin signature at the bottom of that picture?
What? You know, I'd have to see the have to see the picture of why it's there. But that's what my youngest daughter, she's a little on the wild side, just, you know, was one that always got into trouble, I always had to ask, worst person. So, and then my oldest daughter's Brittany. And so I thought, well, KB Doolin, you know, I just ended like, and Doolin robbed a lot in Kansas, so like Kansas Bill Doolin, but I could get my daughter in there. And then I had my iron made up. I thought, well, a backwards K means crazy, or a backwards letter means crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's crazy KB. And so,
oh, that's cool.
All right. Well, you know, the bowler is the hat that won the West.
There are more bowlers than Stetsons.
You betcha.
Well, you know, that explains a lot, but also talking about your daughters, I understand that a Doolin doesn't fall very far from the tree.
How's that?
She's a wild child.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But you know what? She was the most fun. I just had to wonder where she's at. Now, I'll tell you a story talking about cars. I did an episode while West Tech, and it was on the Texas Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
It was around that period of time where the car was introduced.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked Phil Spangenberger, is it okay if I bring Kirstie? And she must have been around maybe six. And so he said, yeah, bring her. So I brought her dressed in her prairie dress and that. And she's sitting over by the sheriff's office where we were filming. And she's just walking her feet and that. And the director walked up. It was a woman. I can't remember her name, but she was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
She walked up to Phil and said, that little girl, I want her. I want her. And so he goes, well, here's her dad. And I said, well, I was kind of hoping, I dressed her hoping that she'd be able, she got more footage than I did, but they had her in the car seat, you know, doing the steering wheel, you know, and playing with the car and that. So you didn't actually get to drive it, obviously, she didn't reach the pedal, but she ended up getting more footage than I did in that episode. She was a hit.
That proves she's a good director. She knows talent when she sees it.
That's pretty
good. Oh, yeah. We don't want you. You can't act. We want her.
Most excellent.
And she was a ham, but yeah, she was fun. So I got her into a few other things.
Cool.
Well,
hey, Todd, you brought this Buster. Guy to us. You talk to your friend there.
So the way I met Dave, I was at the Santa Clarita Cowboy Festival, which unfortunately used to be known as the Poetry Festival, but for whatever negative reasons, it's not that anymore. But I was hanging out, as I always do, with Roger and Geneva Eads in their booth, and we were just visiting and talking, and Roger said, Todd, you got to meet Dave Hoagland. He'd be great for your show. So we whip around, and there's Dave, and he tells Dave that. Dave's looking at me like, oh, God. who's this L.A. guy? So I kind of had to
City
audition.
City dweller.
Yeah. I had to audition for him a little bit, and I had to throw out and drop every name that I could, from Phil Spangenberger to Peter Schirico to... Roger Geneva, obviously, were a great help. But we just started talking and found all these common people we knew and common interests we had. And we just kept going on and on. And I said, you know what? Roger's right. You would be a great guest for the show. So he was like, oh, well, I don't know. What do you mean? What kind of show? What is this? And so I kind of explained that. And I said, and by the way, Dave, one thing that is going to happen here is you and I are going to go shooting.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go cowboy shooting. And he was like, well, I haven't been cowboy shooting in a long time. I said, well, and I haven't been cowboy shooting in even longer.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not an excuse. So we're going to do the show, and then we're going to go shoot.
Nice. Here we are.
At each other?
Well, hopefully not. So when I come visit, Todd, can I bring my scatter gun, and we can all go shooting?
And your
yes,
cannons?
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
Harry's got cannons, too.
I have cannon as well, but because I was a Civil War reenactor. I want to get into Dave's history with Civil War reenacting, okay. But first, we have to do another commercial break here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, Todd Roberts with you. Dave Hoagland's our guest, relative of Outlaw Bill Doolin. We'll be back.
Can you even imagine switching back to pen and paper to run your business? Every year, we become more and more dependent upon our technology. If your network is not set up properly, you're just one click or one email away from losing data critical to your operation. Arizona Computer Guru offers a host of services to prevent and protect you from disaster. From online backup services to email filtering to fully managed network services, Arizona Computer Guru is here to keep your network secure, your data safe, and your budget in the black. To schedule your free consultation, call 304-8300.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away. It'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club dates from 1948 and is now at 7800 West Ol Ajo Highway. The club owns 80 acres and leases 300 more from Pima County that supports 50 trap fields, 15 skeet fields, 2 5-stand fields, 2 sporting plays courses with 12 stations each, a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, 200 full-service RV hookups for members, and free Wi-Fi. This expansive facility gives enough room to host major national and international events annually, bringing thousands of people to the community. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSki.com.
Cow's nothing but a lot of trouble tied up in a leather bag. Horse ain't much better.
This is the Voices of the West.
Back on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, Todd Roberts in Los Angeles, Dave Hoagland's our guest. He's a relative of the outlaw Bill Doolin. And a reminder, we are streaming live from the Tucson Auto Museum, located at 4825 North Subito Canyon Road here in Tucson. Check out their website, TucsonAutoMuseum.org, and come on down and visit the thing. Dave, I play the theme there. I think you recognize it, to the High Chaparral, because our man Bunker was in 54 of those.
Two.
52, 53, 54. He was in a buttload of episodes.
On a horseback.
of the High Chaparral as a stuntman, as an Indian, and God knows whatever else.
Yeah, no telling.
Well, he never looked at the camera, so that's how you...
That's the whole secret of doing 52. They see too much of you, they don't have you back.
So I own the series, but I can't see you because you never showed your face?
That's correct.
Do you remember the episode where Blue falls in love with that pretty Indian girl, Moonfire, Barbara Hershey?
Yep.
I'm the Indian that killed her. And they got more outraged letters about me and my people for our act. But, you know, it's a job.
Yeah, right. It ain't my fault, man.
You're paid.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's a great show.
Oh, I think it's the best, because it's, you know, none of them are accurate, but it's the best portrayal of a working ranch on the television series I think they ever did.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Dave, you're a Civil War reenactor, and I'm guessing that you joined up with the South.
Well, you know, I was up at Calico Ghost Town, one of the President's Weekend event they have, and I was just hanging out in town, and the Southerners were marching by where I was, and I recognized a friend. And so I yelled at him. He said, come on. So I jumped in the troop with them, and we marched up to the end of the camp. And they said, you want to join in today? And I said, sure, but I'm in Old West clothes, but I'm not. And they said, well, the South, not everybody had uniforms.
That's right.
So you fit in perfect. So they threw me a musket and a pistol, and I started from there. It was the 2nd Kentucky, and I love that group. Some of the events we did, like Moore Park. Are you familiar with Moore Park?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I lived out there for 12 years out in the San Fernando Valley.
Well, the event itself, the Civil War event?
Yeah. Oh, no. I knew of it, but I never had the opportunity to see it.
That event was probably the biggest on the west side of the United States.
Hmm.
It was so awesome. The first time I did it, it's at a ranch where they grow corn and vegetables and stuff, and they actually sell all their stuff. And so the time of year we had it, all the corn stalks, you know, were brown and that. So we were battling through there, and there's usually about, at least 400 on each side.
Goodness.
And they had cannons and horses and everything.
Hmm.
So at nighttime, everybody, all the encampments had to be period correct. Nothing could show. If you had a cooler, it had to be hidden underneath something. I mean, they went around and inspected and made sure that all the encampments.
Yep.
But late at night, when you walk around through all, you know, through the north and south, all the encampments were just, they were playing banjos and guitars and flutes, just period ones.
Yeah.
And the fire's going. I mean, that's as close as you're going to get without being there.
Yeah, where I
loved it.
I used to work for the Florida Park Service, and I was at a park in Key West, Florida, Fort Zachary Taylor Historic State Park. And our fort was it was held by the Union during the Civil War, one of three in that area that was held, and never actually saw a whole lot of battle. They did capture some ships that were trying to run the blockade. But so I produced a Civil War reenactment, and it was the one I did. It was the first time we made money on it.
You so, never told me which side you were on.
I was on the Union side. I portrayed the captain who commandeered Fort Taylor before the Confederates could figure out what was happening.
Sneaky.
Yeah, I know. along with my cannon. But yeah, I mean, we did the same stuff, man. It was when we had the Confederates there, they would camp out in our elsewhere in the park, and
the second class.
Well, no.
Yeah.
No, it was
they were the losing side.
No, it wasn't. That's not the point. The point was that they were out in the boonies, if you will.
Which they would have been back in those days.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, reliving that stuff, we just had a ton of fun doing that stuff, and I miss it a lot.
You had all the luxury of an 1860s fort, while they had all the non-luxuries of the thicket.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, that's the way it was.
What's funny is, in real life, my family, when I ran history, all my family, like I said, were from Indiana and Illinois. So all my family was on the north, and he said, what are you doing in a southern uniform? And I said, you know what? The southern troops have more fun.
See?
Strict on the Union side.
Exactly. Exactly.
And in the early days, they were winning all the fights.
I was trying to portray a Confederate soldier, but all my colleagues said, no. You can't do that. You have to be the Union captain. I don't want to be. I want to have fun.
Stern. You had to be stern.
Yeah, it was a blast. Loved it. Did pirate reenacting as well, and that was even more fun.
Oh, yeah. Arr.
I'll bet.
Cannons galore. Yeah,
get the rum out.
Oh, well, I have it out.
I got another question for you here. I was just looking at some stuff, and I come across, where is it here? Where is it out there? Oh, I come across a thing, and I was just wondering, because there's more than one Dave Allen out there, but do you have any connection with the Southern California Range Horse Association?
I might have joined them on Facebook, but I don't.
Yeah, because I come across a picture of a belt buckle, and it says 2025 sponsor buckle, and it's got the name Dave Haugland on it.
Is it spelled the same way?
Or? Yeah, it's spelled the same way. You'd be surprised how many people use your name.
As long as they're not shoplifting.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And spell the name right.
Well, you know, because, you know, you might, somebody out there might be wearing your buckle.
You know what? I don't think I ever won anything, and I never did any competition. Mounted shooting made me a rider,
mm-hmm.
because I had only had horses a short period of time before I started doing the event, before it started in the early 90s, and I didn't know. I knew where the head was and where the tail was.
Well, you know the secret to horseback riding, don't you?
What's that?
Is you put one leg on each side and you keep your mind in the middle.
Yeah.
One of our friends was a mounted shooter, Barb Whitus. She's our studio audience when we do the show out at the White Stallion Ranch. And she has some great stories about mounted shooting, and she was damn good too when mm-hmm. she used to compete. So, what did you have to learn, Dave, when you started to compete with mounted shooting?
Hit the balloon. Yeah, of course.
Well, you know what? I had the first two matches that I did. I was on the bottom of the totem pole. I mean, I was like one up from the bottom here both times. And a friend came up to me and said, you know what? You know how to shoot. I'm watching you. You know how to shoot. Let the horse do its thing. And so I went out and did that. And the next thing I know, I'm winning buckles.
Okay.
So I just, instead of stressing, you know, I just, you know, and you've got to learn the leads. And, you know, and fortunately, my horse knew what it was doing. He knew, he could tell the horse knew, you know, it, the leads and the turns and everything. So I was messing the horse up.
Yeah, that's
so
a secret.
I just started letting it do its thing. But,
you know, that's a secret of a good rider is you let the horse do the work because he knows what he's doing.
I would get back from a stage and my stirrup was hooked underneath the girth, and I'm all but falling off the horse, but I hit every target.
There you go.
I had a good time.
There you go.
I may have looked like a mess at the end, but, you know, over the years, it got better. But I'll tell you a story. Bill Spangenberg, we were doing one of the history channels, and we were filming down in Malibu Canyon, and I was playing Frank James in it, and the director came up to me, and he said, we're going to film this one part. I want you to come around the corner. Your friend's going to be riding with you, the guy playing Jesse. You're going to see the camera. You're going to pull one of your guns. I always use 1875 Remington Outlaws.
Mm-hmm.
I always love those. They were my first Old West guns I bought. And that's what Frank carried. But anyway, so pull one gun out, put the reins in your teeth, pull the other gun out, and charge the camera as fast as you can. So I hunted down Phil and I said, you know I'm a greenhorn. I'm still learning. The director wants me to do this. And he looked at me and he said, just never tell a director you can't do something or you don't know how to do something.
Yep.
Just go do it. And I said, okay. So I went and I did that, and they ended up liking it so much. They did 12 takes. They wanted one up above, one from behind, all different angles. And by the time we finished those 12 takes, I was an expert at riding.
Yeah, for sure.
That's how you learn.
I was John Wayne in True Grit.
That is excellent. Most excellent.
As long as we're on, Phil, I also knew that you did a History Channel Wild West Text episode, The Outlaws, and you portrayed Henry Longabaugh, and you wore your branding iron outfit because it was just like the real McCoy and Longabaugh wore.
Yes. When we did, it was that the In Search of Butch and Sundance?
I guess so, yeah. Because There was a whole description of Phil getting the guys together and, you know, getting the outfits and working with the wardrobe department and everything. And they even went to the point of one of the fellows, his hairline was wrong, so the makeup girl changed his hairline. What was really impressive was, like, Phil was bragging on you because your branding iron outfit was just like the Long Bow's clothes, and they didn't have to really do much to
it. Cool.
Yeah.
And tell us about Brandy Nyer, too, because that's a good brand.
Well, you know that Alan Waugh, I can remember that's his daughter that started Brandy Nyer clothes. And I don't know all the behind the scenes, but it only lasted a few years. And then she went out of business. As far as I know, I haven't heard of. Mm-hmm. I still have that suit that I wore, too.
Hmm. I've got one of their shirts. They're great clothes. Really,
yeah,
heavy duty.
I don't know what happened with that because their clothes were excellent.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a lot of them out there, a few of the companies out there really put some nice, you know, period correct clothes.
And
but
so
she had.
I was going to say, that's always a plus when the companies will do that. We've got to finish up here with our third and last commercial break here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Dave Hoagland's our guest. Relation to Bill Doolin. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, Todd Roberts with you. We'll be right back.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of Westerns were filmed. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and the Hacienda. That's a 5-bedroom, 3-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms, but you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Ev Wilkinson of Wilkinson Wealth Management, where we manage money for gun owners. When people turn 50, something miraculous happens. They start to get serious about retirement planning. They've done very well so far and want to be certain they power into the retirement they've earned. Let me guide you to retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Ev Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
Hello, I'm Mr. Ed.
No doubt you've heard about rescue groups for dogs and cats, but did you know there's a rescue group for horses? That's right, it's called Horse It Around Rescue. Founders Steve Boyce and Teresa Worrell are helping out all those equine victims of neglect and cruelty by giving them a place to restore their health and wellness. And Horse It Around provides a nurturing and natural environment where horses can be horses, so they can be adopted out into forever homes. More than 120 horses, mules, and donkeys have been adopted out, but like everything else, it costs money to run the project. Horse It Around is a 501c3 nonprofit located in Southeast Arizona. Your tax-deductible donations to Horse It Around will go a long way so those horses can be horses. Check out the website, horseitaroundrescue.org. Make a difference in a horse's life. That's horseitaroundrescue.org.
Besides bringing millions a year into this community with national and international events, the Tucson Trap and Skeet Club at 7800 West Old Ajo Highway services the local shooting sports community with a 380-acre site featuring trap, skeet, five stand, and two sporting clays fields, as well as a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, which all is available to local shooters, and soon, an archery range. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com or take a drive out west of town and see it for yourself. New members or single-day use, welcome.
You don't have
have to kill a fella every time you shoot a gun. I mean, shoot at a target. Got a gun, Al, Tony?
Yeah, it is.
Now, where'd you get that watch charm? Hey, nurse that a while, it might grow up. Will it shoot?
No, I never tried it.
This is the Voices of the West.
Way down south of the Mason-Dixon, there's a man who's really fixin' to match those taters in his bin with possum meat. And that ain't ten. Six tall, slim, slick sycamore saplings, possum up a tree. Somewhere up in one of those saplings, possum's laughing at me. Now a hound on the
bend. Back on April Francie's Voices of the West. You know, I don't think I've ever had possum.
I've had possum.
Except for roadkill.
It's real greasy.
All right, we're back on Abel Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France. Todd Roberts with you. Our guest, Dave Hoagland. We're rapidly running out of time, but I do have to tell you about please help celebrate the 150th anniversary of the Empire Ranch, just southeast of Tucson. It's Saturday, August 22nd, from 9 to 1 o'clock. It's a free event, by golly.
Doesn't cost anything.
It don't cost nothing. You're going to find out all kinds of cool stuff about the Empire, Walter Vail as well. And, he's the guy who kind of put it all together there. So they're celebrating the history, preserving the future. Historic Empire Ranch, East Empire Ranch Road down in Sonoyta. Take the
83
Highway 83 exit off of Interstate 10, and you get down there. EmpireRanchFoundation.org is the website. Todd Roberts, time for the final question.
All right, Dave. I know you think you're tough and you're a hell of a man, but you've never had this kind of pressure before.
You know, Todd, I don't know if it's our connection, but I can barely hear you.
All right, let me turn them up. Go ahead, Todd.
All right, Dave. I know you think you're a tough mountain man, cowboy, and law enforcement officer, but you've never felt this kind of pressure. So get ready. The question of the show always ends with this to every guest. Don't feel like you'll fail, because you probably will. Here we go. Your favorite.
But everything's gurgly. I can't.
Okay, what?
Talking.
Okay.
Everything.
Understand. Yeah, there seems to be a problem.
Mary will reiterate.
Yeah, there seems to be a problem with Todd's connection on the cleaned feed. So basically, what we're asking here, Dave, is your favorite Western film or television show. Again, no pressure.
Why do we always get this dead air when we ask that question?
I don't know. I haven't lost him. Hello, where are we? Are we here? Hello.
What? He quit us.
No, he's not gone. He's not gone. He's still here. Dave, did you catch the question?
Did we catch Dave?
Dave?
Isn't live radio or live podcast streaming most interesting?
I am learning so much.
It is, and don't learn from me, please.
Dave?
I don't know where he went. The phone is still connected. I don't understand what's going on here.
Maybe he's in shock.
Can't answer the favorite Western
question. Looking it up on the internet. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know either, but I know he's there. I'm going to show the phone to Bunker.
I don't know if you can hear me.
Yeah, now we
can hear you.
Now we got you.
All I'm getting is gurgling.
Okay, now we got you.
Did you get the question?
Did you get the question that I asked?
Oh,
apparently not.
Apparently, we lost him again.
Our internet signal seems to be crap. You know, what else is new?
Well, it's
I don't know.
Dave.
I don't think he's there. He's still there, but I'm not sure. Anyway.
Text him the question.
Yeah, no, you text him the question and we'll get it, do a post about it or something. Okay. Anywho, that kind of wraps up our program for today. And we'll find out what Dave's favorite Western is in the future.
Okay.
Harry Alexander, Bunker DeFrance, and Todd Roberts with you on Amo Franzi's Voices of the West. We appreciate you joining us and hope to hear from you again.
78, 79, 80-0's Dave Houghton, and where the heck are you? We lost you. I think your pony ran away with you or something. Anyhow, Dave, we sure appreciate you, and thank you for being part of us.
Thanks for listening to Emil Franzink's Voices of the West.
Thanks for listening, folks. So long.